And let's talk next about Syria. Syrians loyal to President Bashar Assad attacked the U.S. embassy in Damascus this week, which prompted the United States to suggest that President Assad has lost his legitimacy. The U.S. did stop short of saying that Assad must go. Britain's Foreign Office Minister Alistair Burt joined us in our studios to talk about the situation in Syria. Is it clear to you that Assad must go?
Well, as every day goes by, more and more legitimacy is lost by Assad and his regime. We've been very clear with a number of these insurgencies and revolutions. It's not for people outside to decide who should run countries. I think we've got to be very clear that these insurgencies have usually been spontaneous. They've been led by the people. But we have watched and seen the way different countries react, and we've seen legitimacy change over time.
I want to explain legitimacy as it's used here, because we're basically talking about leaders of countries who may or may not be elected in any way, but if they're legitimate leaders, it's accepted that they are the leader of the country and that they ought to be the leader of the country. You're saying that Assad has lost that or is losing that?
I think it's visible that he's losing it. It's a very interesting concept you're getting into, because I think as we reflect on the Arab Spring and look at what this means, we're going to try and recalculate the whole concept of consent between governed and governors. Not every country is going to end up with a parliamentary democracy, congressional system such as the one you have here or we have at home. But what we can see when we watch events unfold is those who have had legitimacy, who have had the relationship with their people, which has meant some form of bargain that has allowed the place to work. This has been shattered. This concept has been shattered in so many different places. And I think that's the extraordinary thing about what's happening in Syria. In the past, challenges to the Assad regime were met by violence, immediate repression, and the people were cowed by what had happened, and it stopped. These days, that isn't happening.
Let me give a couple of examples of other countries. In Egypt, the United States was seen as giving a nudge to Mubarak's regime at a particular time. In Libya, of course, bombs have been used by your government as well as the United States and other governments in an effort to influence the course of events. Are you saying that in the case of Syria, you're toothless? There's nothing you can do?
I think it's unfair and wrong to say it's toothless. There's already a pattern of sanctions developing both from the United States and the European Union, where we've been able to target the regime leaders. We are doing absolutely everything we can. But military leverage, even if that was seen to be the preferred option, is just not there. This is very hard sometimes to talk to powerful nations and say, is there anything you can do about it? And the answer may be, I'm afraid, much less than we think. But that's life. And I think, again, another thing that's desperately important here is the grassroots revolts that are there, they want their own legitimacy. We sometimes have to let people do what it is they need to do.
I wonder if part of the calculations of Bashar al-Assad at this moment can be that he knows the West is not going to intervene militarily, because just intervening in Libya seems to have strained everybody's resources, capacity, and willingness right up to the limit.
Well, firstly, again, to emphasize, these two situations are very different.
Granted, it may not be that military action is even possible.
Correct.
Because the opposition doesn't control territory that you can defend. Nevertheless,
that's right.
It seems that there's no room for the kind of action that was taken in Libya. There's no appetite for it.
I think that's correct.
You don't even have the ability to do it.
I think that's correct. I don't think there is an appetite. The international community is far more conflicted. The Arab League, who were very clear in relation to Libya, have not been so clear in relation to Syria. So I think we have to put that to one side. And if you're talking about stretched resources, I still reckon that NATO coalition resources have everything they need to ultimately deal with the situation in Libya.
The American analyst and longtime former diplomat Aaron David Miller wrote recently that, like it or not, the Arab world is changing in ways that will make it more difficult for the United States to achieve its foreign policy goals in the region. And while those goals are not identical to Britain's, they are certainly compatible. Is your leverage being reduced in the region as time goes on?
I think it's an interesting observation. I can understand entirely where it comes from, but I think we would look at this rather differently. If our policies, if our foreign policy can only be pursued in a world where we rely on certain countries having a form of governance where the people are not consulted, where there is not consent, ultimately, I don't think that's stable. So yes, it's going to be more difficult, but in the long run, if people are aspiring to the same things as we aspire to, if they have a determination to run their countries in a manner which reflects consent and they want peace with their neighbours, then it's going to be different. But actually, this may be more compatible with our aims in the future.
Minister Alistair Burt, thanks very much.
Thank you.
He is Britain's Foreign Office Minister for the Middle East and North Africa.